Krishna consciousness is not only a theory. Krishna consciousness is a practical, day-to-day, moment-to-moment way of life. As was described yesterday at Akrura Ghat, Lord Chaitanya said to the Sanodiya Brahman in Mathura that the Vedas, the Puranas, Munis, sages and rishis, they appear to have many disagreements. It is the behavior of the pure devotees of the Lord that establishes the true and essential principles of religion. So we read from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, about what is Krishna consciousness. It is the practical application of these principles that brings about vijnana or realizations. When we come in contact with personalities who are deeply, from the core of their hearts, dedicated to living by these principles, it has a tremendous impact in our lives. If by the grace of Sri Krishna and Sri Radharani we are receptive. This temple I have only recently seen. Previously these deities were living in a tiny little closet in the hallway of a Brijabasi's home. I would like to explain something about the wonderful Vaishnava that dedicated his life to worshipping these deities. Because it had a tremendously profound effect in my own personal spiritual lives, having the association of this devotee. He never preached to me with his words, but his example taught me some of the most precious truths of Krishna consciousness that I still worship today. There was a prince, son of a great king of Rajasthan. His name was Ghanashyam. This was just about at the time of the turn of this century. Like many of the great kings of Rajasthan, his father was a very sincere devotee of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Worship the holy land of Vrindavan. So one day he brought his family on a yatra to Vrindavan. Ghanashyam was married in those days amongst these Rajasthani royalties. They married at quite young ages. He was married with a son, I think he was only about 18 years old, something like that. So they came here to Braja. And while here, Ghanashyam felt so much attracted to the holy Dhamma. He became so detached from all of the wealth and opulences of the kingdom he was meant to inherit. Something by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar came into his heart where he realized the futility of material life and deeply yearned to serve the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan. So he told his mother and father that I will remain in Vrindavan. Now, as many of us know, even though parents are devotees, when it comes to their child renouncing the world, that is another story. They were very much disturbed. Not only disturbed, but angry. They were. And when a great Maharaj is angry, they are Kshatriyas. You have seen in Jaipur, if you went to the museum, how these Rajasthani kings would fight tigers with these little knives that they would put on their hands. But he was very simple. He just said, I will remain here. So they left some servants with him. But he would not accept any of the offerings of the servants. So the father returned and said, either you come back now or we will cut you off from all inheritance and all assistance. But he wanted to dedicate his life to the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. So, from a prince living in royalty, the next day he was in utter poverty. He would sleep under different trees every night. He would do madhukari to eat. He had absolutely nothing and no one. He was living alone in Vrindavan. He was so poor, he would literally have to just pick up rags from the ground that people would throw out to find as a cloth to wear. But he was so happy, just chanting the holy names of Krishna, going to the places of Krishna's Leela, and worshipping Krishna. After some years of living like this, completely unknown and unheard of in every respect, he was sitting near the bank of Jamuna, and what he would do, because he had no deity, he would write the name of Sri Radharani in the dust of Vrindavan with his finger, and he would worship the name in the dust on the ground. He would sometimes collect little flowers, and he would sing bhajan to the name of Sri Radharani written in the dust of Braja. So one day there were some people walking by doing parikrama. The evening was coming. So before he would finish his worship, he would erase the name so no one stepped on her. So as he erased, he found just beneath the ground there was something gold coming out. So he was thinking, this might be gold. And he was thinking, if I don't know who these people are around me, they may be materialistic people. If it is gold, they may just steal it for their sense gratification. So he came back a little later, and he started to dig and to dig, and he found, what was that gold? It was the top of the head of Srimati Radharani, who was under the ground. And next to her was sitting the beautiful deity of Lord Krishna. And at the deity's feet, there was a little engraving next to him that said, Radha Gopi Jana Vallava. So Ghanashyam took the deities out of the ground and was sitting there near the bank of the Jamuna with these deities. He had no home, no temple, no money. He didn't even have any friends, hardly. So he just sat there and he was thinking, now that Gopijana Vallabha and Sridharani have come into my care, I cannot leave them. So he would just sit there and he would never leave the deities. And sometimes people would come by and give some roti or some gur or something like that, and he would offer it to the deities. He lived for years and years just sitting under a tree in a grove of Vrindavan like that. Then one day, because people, some of the local people, saw that he was very unknown but very sincere. So one family said that we have a closet in our house that we'll give you to worship your deity. So he was thinking, this is such a great opulence, a closet in someone's house. So they moved the deities to that closet. And actually, if you go behind Sri Radha Ballabh temple, there's a small alleyway with a dead end near a gutter, sewage gutter. And if you go to the right, at the end of that little dead end alleyway, it's just a Brijabasi's house, very simple house. And there's a tiny little hallway with a little tiny courtyard, very small, that people use to go from one room to the other. And in that little hallway there's a small closet where people usually just store some clothes. So Gopijana Vallabha and Sri Radharani lived in that little closet, and Ghanashyam slept in the hallway. That was his residence. And day and night people used to walk over him and walk by him through the family. No privacy at all. He lived there for probably 50 years in that closet hallway. When I was living in Vrindavan in 1971, I would sleep on the bank of Jamuna each night, usually near Chirghat. It's interesting because recently I just read that when after Krishna killed Keshi, he came to take rest at Chirghat. And it also describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would also take his bath and rest at Chirghat. So somehow or other I used to rest there. I didn't know these things. Then I would take bath in Jamuna. Then I would go to some of the temples of Radharaman. There was no ISKCON in Vrindavan in those days, or any ISKCON devotees. Even I wasn't in ISKCON. So, some very, very sincere sadhus of Vrindavan, Brijavasi sadhus, one of them told me that you should come to this temple. No one knows this temple, but it's very special. So I followed him, and we went into this little house of the Vrijabhasi, and there in the hallway was Gopi Janabhanga. And that is where I first met Ghanashyam Maharaj. Ghanashyam Maharaj was really a wonderful, wonderful example of the verse of Sri Chaitanya Charit Mahaprabhu. Srinada Pisuni Chena, the Lord of the East Asia, Amanda Mahadeva, he was a very small man, very old and very thin. He had shaved head, little sika. He was so simple and so gentle. So very gentle. And what kind of a service attitude he had, I would like to explain. There was no prophet adoration, distinction, anything in his life. Because actually, for approximately the year I was in Vrindavan, when I was, sometimes I would be in Barasana, Nandagam, Govardhan, but when I would be in Vrindavan village, I would visit him every day and spend a couple hours. And I will say not more than 5 or 6 people a day would ever come to visit his temple. Because it was unheard of. Only the few fortunate souls who knew him. Voice. Often he would say, "You are the friend of Gopi Janabhava." He would say this to every visitor. "You are the dear friend of Gopi Janabhava. Therefore, he has invited you to come to see him. But I am not his friend. I am only his servant. And it is the duty of the servant to serve the friend of one of the Lord. So you must accept me as your servant." He would say this again and again. "You are the friend of Gopi Janabhava. He has so mercifully invited you for his darshan. But I am not his friend. I am only his most fallen servant. And what is the best way I could serve him? By serving his friends." Each day, when I would come, he would give me these braja rotis. He'd usually give me 2 or 3 braja rotis. Now at that time, I was 20 years old, just turned 20, and living as a sadhu in Vrindavan, one of the first things you learn is where to do madhukari. The life of a sadhu is very interesting. As soon as sadhus come to a holy place, because I lived in so many holy places with sadhus, one of the first things they discuss is the best places for madhukari. So at that time, I remember there was 12 ashrams that at a particular time of the day would give free rotis to anyone who came. And there would be lines of sadhus waiting at each place. So I knew all the places. So for me, eating was no problem. In Vrindavan, Sri Radharani and Krishna provide for everyone. I was thinking, in the Western world and in the cities, people are working so hard just to get a place to stay and something to eat. And here in Vrindavan, there's so many wonderful trees and such soft, nice ground, and you can get rotis. What is the use of all of this laboring like ass for survival? We can just be here and think about the glories of Krishna's pastimes and chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
would come, I noticed that Ghanashyam was very sick, and his sickness seemed to get worse and worse. But every time I would come, he would say, "Oh, Gopijana Vallabha's friend has come. I am your servant. Please take these rotis from Gopi. Gopijana Vallabha is sending these rotis to you." So after a couple weeks, some of the people living close by, they told me, one sadhu who would come to the temple regularly, he said, "Do you know that Ghanashyam Maharaj has not eaten in a couple weeks?" I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because he gives you all his rotis. He only gets 3 rotis a day that someone, because he doesn't ever leave his deities. Someone brings 3 rotis a day, he offers them to Gopijana Vallabha, and that's what he eats. He's giving them to you every day." So I felt so bad. The next day I came there, Ghanashyam sat me down to give me the rotis. I said, "Ghanashyam, I will not accept these rotis." He started to cry, literally weeping. He said, "Why?" With folded hands, "Why you will not accept my rotis? They are not my rotis, they are Gopijana Vallabha's rotis. Why you will not accept them?" I said, "Ghanashyam, because I'm not hungry. I just had madukari somewhere else." He said, "No, no, no." He said, "Whatever you had, Gopijana Vallabha's mercy, you must accept. You must accept. You must let me give you these rotis." So he was insisting so much that finally I said, "Ghanashyam, you haven't eaten in weeks because I'm eating all your prasad." He said, "I am eating every day." I said, "What do you eat?" He said, "I have so many rotis." I said, "Show me where are your other rotis. Beyond these 3, show me where they are." He said, "They are in the back. I have them." I said, "Show me." He said, "No." I said, "I want to see them." He said, "You believe me." What did he have? There was one closet and one little hole in the wall where he kept some storage for the deities' paraphernalia. He said, "It's there." I said, "Show me." So there was only a few things, so I went and looked. There was no rotis anywhere. I said, "Ghanashyam, you are not eating. People are complaining. You're sick. You're weak. I can get rotis anywhere. You're an old man. I'm young. You eat these rotis." He said, "No need, no need. Whether I live or die makes no difference. But the guest of Gopijana Vallabha, if he is not satisfied, then my life is a failure." I said, "What is the use of my life? My life is only how I can serve the servants of Gopijana Vallabha." He said, "I am not even a servant. I am just trying to serve the servants." "Ghanashyam, you please eat these rotis. I promise I will eat somewhere else." He was weeping and crying because I would not accept his rotis. He said, "Whether I live or die, whether I suffer, doesn't mean anything. But if I can serve the servants of my Lord, that means everything in my life." There was nothing show about it. This is his genuine spirit of service. So we got a nice, loving argument about these rotis. Ultimately, I was about to walk out. And he said, "No, no, don't go, don't go." So we divided the rotis in half. I said, "You eat half and I will eat half." He said, "But I will eat after you. We will eat together." He said, "No, no, no. You are the friend of Gopijana Vallabha. I am only the servant. I cannot eat with his friends. I can only serve his friends." So I ate half. And within a second, the other half was on my leaf plate. So I was thinking then, now what? I cannot give Ghanashyam Maharaj my remnants. because he's so much superior to me in every regard. I would come there every morning for a couple of hours, and one or two other sadhus would also come, and we would worship Gopijana Vallabha together. It was a very, very, very simple and poor, by material calculation, standard of deity worship. He had practically nothing. But whatever little he had, it was such a great opulence, because it was offered with such humility and devotion. So once in the winter, in January, for those of you who know, Vrindavan becomes quite cold in January. I only had one little chadar with some holes in it that someone gave me, and I was sleeping on the bank of Jamuna. So one night, I came by to visit Ghanashyam. And I was going back out, and Ghanashyam, he had a little bed for his deities. But because he was so old, he wasn't strong enough to lift the deities and put them in bed. So anytime someone would be there at night, he would ask them to help him pick up the deities and put them in the bed. So this night I came and I helped him put Gopi Radharani and Gopijana Vallabha in their little bed. Then I started going. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to take rest." "Where are you resting?" "Bank of Jamuna." He said, "No, no, it is too cold there. It is too cold. You must stay here." He had no bed. He just slept right on the floor, on the hard floor, in this little hallway that the family would just go in and out, in and out. There wasn't even a door to the closet. It was just the cloth he would pull over the deities after he would put them to rest. Old cloth. So he insisted that I sleep there. So I said, "All right, I will sleep here." So we both laid down next to each other on the floor. And Ghanashyam had one old blanket. Very old blanket. And he put that blanket on me as I was laying down. And I was thinking, this is very nice hospitality. But then Ghanashyam lay down. He had no pillow, just his arm on the floor. And it was so cold that night. He was trembling. I realized he gave me his blanket. So I said, "Ghanashyam, this is your blanket." He said, "No, no, it is not my blanket. It is your blanket. You are Gopijana Vallabha's friend. You are his servant. The friend and servant inherits the property of the master. But I am not a servant. I am not a friend. I am just the servant of the servant. So it is your blanket." I said, "Ghanashyam, I'm young, I'm strong, you're old, you're sickly, you take this blanket." He said, "No need, no need." So I said, "If you don't take this blanket, I'm leaving, and I'll go sleep on the Jamuna." He said, "No need, you stay." We, for about 15 minutes, we argued about this blanket. Finally, I walked out. He said, "No need, no need, no need, I will take the blanket." So we both lay down, and I made sure he was sleeping under his blanket. And I laid down. It was very cold. I used to curl myself up in the smallest possible ball to keep warm. It actually works. When you curl up, somehow it creates an energy in your body that makes a little bit of warmth. So I was laying there, and after about an hour or so, I happened to wake up, and I was feeling warm, at least a little warm. I was thinking, "How am I warm?" And then I looked, and the blanket was on me. I looked over at Ghanashyam, and he was just laying there, trembling like a leaf in the wind. Trembling with his face. He had a very thin body. So I took that blanket and very quietly, secretly, I went to put it on Ghanashyam. As soon as it touched him, he jumped up and said, "No need, no need, no need! You are Gopichanda Vallabha's servant. I am only the servant of his servants. You keep this blanket. You should be warm. What difference does it make whether I get sick and die? But you should enjoy life in Vrindavan." So then we argued for about another 15 minutes. Then I started walking out the door. By this time it was about midnight. I said, "I'll go to Jamuna." And he said, "No need, no need. All right, I will take the blanket." So he laid down and put the blanket on him. I laid down. After some time, I woke up and I felt a little warm again. I looked over and there was Ghanashyam trembling in utter freezing cold with his thin body. So again, I tried to quietly and secretly put the blanket on him. As soon as I touched him with the blanket, he jumped up. "No need, no need, no need!" All night long, we were arguing about this blanket. The arguments would last about 10 minutes, and then he would accept. But every time, finally, I fell asleep. And when I woke up in the morning, early morning, at around 4 o'clock, sure enough, the blanket was on me. Ghanashyam would leave his temple every day to go to the Jamuna to bring water from the Jamuna for bathing Sri Gopijaya Vallabha. He would bring two buckets, old buckets. So one day in the morning I was walking down one of the streets of Vrindavan and I saw Ghanashyam, who was so old and so weak in physical health. He was carrying these two buckets. And he could only walk about 5 steps, and then he would have to stop to rest for about a minute. Then he would take another 5 steps and then rest for some little time. So I saw him, and I went to take the buckets out of his hand. Because what takes him an hour to bring the buckets from the Jamuna to his temple, it would take me less than 5 minutes. So I went to take these buckets and he would not let me take these buckets of water. I said, "I'm coming to your temple now to see Gopichanda Vallabha. Let me take the water." He said, "No need, no need." So he would not let me take it. So he's carrying the water and I'm walking next to him. So I felt so embarrassed that I said, "Ghanashyam, please let me take this water and carry it." He said, "I am Gopichanda Vallabha, the servant of his servants." He said, "There is no need for you to do it." He said, "You should enjoy your life in Vrindavan. You should enjoy bhajans and kirtans and Krishna katha. You shouldn't do things like this. This is my service. You come and you dance and you chant before Gopichanda Vallabha. Let me do the service." He said, "How can I let my Lord's guest do any work?" So we got in an argument in the street. And I said, "Ghanashyam, I'm only 20 years old. I'm very strong. It's no problem. But you are struggling so much, it looks like you will die carrying these buckets." So finally Ghanashyam started to cry, literally weeping. And he said, "I don't mind if anyone takes away my life, but it is my prayer that please do not take away my service to Gopichanda Vallabha. I only live for my service. Please do not take away this service from me. My service is to serve the deity in such a way that you can happily come to see him. And when I see the guests of Gopijana Vallabha enjoying the darshan, that is the joy of my life. He said, I have no joy seeking Gopijana Vallabha. I am sinful and fallen. But when I see Gopijana Vallabha giving his mercy to another person, he said, that is the joy of my life. So please, do not take this service away from me. For so many long years, at that time it may have been 30, 40 years, he never left that little place. One day I was going to Barasana. I said to Ganesham that tonight I am going to Barasana. He started to cry. He said, when you go to Barasana, please offer this prayer to Sri Radharani. Tell her that I want to serve her. Please tell her that Ganesham, he's so useless and foolish. He has nothing, he is nothing, but he has one prayer. He wants to be the servant of your servants. Sometimes when I would come to his little temple at different times of the day, he would always be engaged in some service. I would come there and he would be fanning the deity with a little fan that someone gave him, or he would be singing bhajans to the deities, singing the Maha Mantra. Always doing seva. Truly in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. These are just a few of what I could remember. But although there were so many big, royal, beautiful, famous temples throughout Braj that I would visit, the darshan of Gopijana Vallabha was always so very special and sweet, because Ganesham's humble behavior gave a real perception of the deity. I remember when I got bit by a dog in Vrindavan. I came to Gopijana Vallabha's temple and Ganesham saw my leg bleeding and he said, you must go to doctor. There was a charitable clinic near Govindaji temple. He said, you must go to this. I said, no, what is the need? He said, these dogs, they have rabies. I said, better I die of rabies than leave Vrindavan. He said, no, because if you die of rabies, you go insane, and it's very, very difficult to think of Radha and Krishna when you're dying of rabies. Actually, it's a long story, but it was through this pastime that I'm allowed to come back to Vrindavan today. Because I had medical excuse and everything like that. But it is by Ganesham's good instructions that I'm allowed to return to India and Vrindavan today. But he was so caring and so loving. More than any father or mother could possibly be to any guest who just happened to come in to see the deity. After I left Vrindavan, I was not allowed to come back to India due to my service at New Vrindavan for 10 years. And when I finally, after I took sannyas, I came to Vrindavan and I went to Ganesha's temple. He was so happy to see me. By this time he was very, very old. And immediately he started trying to give me his rotis. Immediately he's just, whatever the deities had, he's just started giving that to me. I said, these are the deities. He said, no. Gopi Janavallava wants you to be happy. Whatever little he had, he just wanted to share with whoever came before the Lord. He was really in this mood that serving the deity means serving the devotees. And there's nothing that will please the deity more than making the devotees happy. And simultaneously, how he worshipped his deity. Very simple, no material opulence, but with so much dedication and sacrifice. He practically didn't, except for going to the Jamuna once a day, and except for the Rajbhogarti at Radha Ballabha temple, he would go every day and he would ring that big gong with the stick just to call people, because it was only 2 minutes from his house. Other than that, he never went anywhere for about 50 years. Because he was so dedicated to serving the deity. So when I came back, I came in the evening, and he was so happy to see me. And immediately he asked me if I could pick up Gopi Janavallava and put him in bed. He said he hasn't slept in a bed in about 3 months, because nobody comes here and I don't have the strength to lift him. He said, today Radharani and Gopi Janavallava want to celebrate your arrival by sleeping in their bed. Can you help me lift him and put him in bed? So I put Radharani and Gopi Janavallava in bed. And then he had a little prasad and he would serve the prasad with such love and devotion. Then I said, Ganesha, now that they're in bed, who's going to take them out of bed in the morning? And he had tears in his eyes. He said, he didn't say anything. And I said, I will come tomorrow morning. So from Krishna Balaram temple, I had to sneak out before Mangalarti to Ganeshama's little closet and pick up Gopi Janavallava and put them on her altar. And he was so happy that they slept in their bed one night. Very sweet, very personal. So then I didn't come to India for some time, and I returned. And when I came to that little alleyway next to the sewage gutter where that little Brijabasi house was, the door was closed. I had never seen the door closed before. So I knocked on the door. And one lady came to the door, and I said, Ganesha Maharaj? And she said, Goloka. I said, Gopi Janavallava? She said she didn't know where they were. Years went by. I never knew where these deities were. These deities were so, so dear to my heart. Because actually Krishna reveals himself so much through his devotees. So once I met an old friend that I used to meet at Gopijana Ballabha's temple years before. I happened to see him on the street. And I asked him, "Where is Gopijana Ballabha? It has been years I've been searching where he may have been taken." So he told me it was in this place. He said that Ghanashyam for about 50 years worshipped the deity in that little closet. And just before he left his body, this temple was built. And I'm not sure what the story is, but this temple was built and the people that built the temple invited Ghanashyam to bring his deities here. So he brought his deities here and he saw that now Gopijana Ballabha has a nice place to reside. And there was some sort of a trust that owned this temple, and he understood that now someone will also take care of the deities. So after he saw Gopijana Ballabha had a nice temple, and there were people who were going to take care, right at the lotus feet of the deities, he left his body and went back to Godhead. So this temple now, I don't know who all these photos are, they're the acharyas of this particular temple. But on the bottom, below the deities of Sri Gopijana Ballabha, there's a little black and white photograph. And in that photograph, there's a photo of Ghanashyam during the Chaturmasya. When I knew him, he always had shaved head and little sika. But in this photo, it is Chaturmasya, so he has some beard and everything. So if you all want to come and see the darshan of Ghanashyam...
Let's see what Chandi Kamisa Pujari is doing.
Huh?
Chandi Kamisa Pujari is bringing a picture photo.
He will.
Photo forward.
Oh, yeah. This is the hallway at the closet. So after we finish our little talk, all the devotees could come forward to see the photo as well as the deities nicely. The first day I came to Vrindavan, the day before the yatra, the GBC and leading preacher of Russia, Vaidyanath Prabhu, we met him at Fogla Ashram. And he had heard me tell the story about Ghanashyam, because I like to tell this story. Most of you have heard it, I believe. Because he lives always in my heart. His humility, his service attitude, his devotion had such a wonderful, wonderful effect in my ability to understand Srila Prabhupada's teachings nicely. So when I came here, Vaidyanath Prabhu said, "Can you show me Gopijana Ballabha? I want to see Ghanashyam Maharaj's deities." So we came here, Vishwarup Prabhu also. And I sat in front of Gopijana Ballabha for a long time, just reflecting on my own life and consciousness from the time I was a little boy living as a Babaji in Vrindavan in 1971 to today, and all in between. And I began to think of Ghanashyam Baba. What kind of love, what kind of kindness, what kind of humility and care this person had. And then I began to think that actually it was Radha and Gopijana Ballabha's mercy manifesting through their servant. The servant may have disappeared, But the source of that humility, the source of that love, compassion, and desire to serve, is all coming from Gopijana Valla. He was just the transparent instrument. All the love and the qualities, the devotion, the compassion of the devotees, its source is Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna. And Krishna is forever. These wonderful murtis, when you go to see Sri Radha Govinda temple, all the mercy, the glory, the knowledge and the compassion of Rupa Goswami, here is the source, Radha Govinda. And Krishna has manifested himself in these deity forms where they live on, and the glory of all their devotees and their illustrious servants lives with them, generation after generation after generation. Let us come before Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha and pray that we can follow in the footsteps of such great and humble devotees as Ghanashyam, and truly be willing to accept any inconvenience and sacrifice to be the servant of the servant of the servant. To be willing to even put aside an entire kingdom to live in the most dire poverty, blissfully, gratefully, so that we can serve the Supreme Personality of God. Let us try to imbibe this spirit of devotion within our hearts. And let us pray at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha in this way. After I lived in Vrindavan for about 6 months, Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. And I remember it was the first time I ever heard him chant Jai Radha Madhava. Because in Bombay when I met him, he wasn't chanting yet Jai Radha Madhava. And he was at Sharaf Bhavan. And he started chanting Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha. When I heard him say that, I was very happy. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you very much. So, if someone can hold, then devotees can come.
Ghanashyam Maharaj Ki.
Prabhupada has given us the culture of Krishna consciousness. How deep, how sweet it is. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Radha Swami was telling the story, concluding how Ghanashyam taught him the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And suddenly, of course I'm just a pretender, and I'm being very pretentious, but anyway, somehow Prabhupada inspired me one time, because you know how difficult it is when Yas Puja comes around and you have to write an offering to Prabhupada, and somehow, sometimes. Anyway, I was having great difficulty writing, and then all of a sudden it just, I don't know where it came from, it just came out of my pen, so it's not my words, so I'm just a pretender. But anyway, I haven't read it for some time, so I may forget a few words, but this was an offering that I made to Srila Prabhupada several years ago. On this most holy blessed day, along with those around the world we pray, falling humbly at your feet, your sacred glories we repeat, like lamp lit unto morning sun, or Ganga's worship with waters done. Our mind is stretched beyond the sky, how can we even glorify the mercy that you've given? But still today we're driven to offer words as tiny measure, in vain hope it may give pleasure. At year 70 we left this holy land, where endless waves of bliss are flowing due to this. Sri Radhika and Shyam sport in this holy dam. Pritiviti atrara nagaradigram, sarvata prachoi hoibe moranam. 500 years have flown since Chaitanya made this known. But some of them had thought that those who would be blessed are each and every... But some of them had guessed that those who would be blessed, each and every town, in Nadia around. Or maybe in Bengal, that certainly was all. Or what the two they said is where the name might spread. In Bharatvarsh maybe, but not across the sea. Thakur did not agree. Thakur did not agree. Why not across the sea? If Chaitanya is Lord of all, let all lands hear his call. And so he got a son to get this service done. In you he marked the sign. He'll do the work in time. You see, well, no. He told you got a son to get this service done. A lion amongst the saints. The Mayavadi faints. In you he marked the sign. He'll do the work in time. And so he made you this request that all lands should be blessed. T'was you, our Prabhupada. It was you, our Prabhupada, who took something. To every continent, the holy name was sent, giving joy to all, with Lord Gauranga's call. Giving the mercy, I can't remember something, to those who are not fit, enwrapped in Maya's grip. "'Tis very great indeed," some of them agreed. "The name has crossed the sea to the land that's free. But in the Soviet, they'll surely say, Niet." "That day I'll not forget, remembering eyes are wet. The Russians came 60 and danced in your samadhi. Beside Jamuna's, beyond your wildest dream, beside Jamuna's stream." "We also very low. The Lord we do not know. The Vaishnava we have heard is he used to be served. But to such a one as you, how can we give what's due? We only hope and pray that when your followers come to your home Vrindavan Dham, by service of their feet, your mercy we will meet." Srila Prabhupada ki.
And offering your prayers to Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jala Bhagavara. We'll be returning for prasad at Bogla Ashram. After that, Vishwaroop Prabhu will be taking those who would like to visit Sri Banki Bihari Temple. The most Krishna Balaram Temple and Banki Bihari Temple are the most popular temples in Vrindavan. There's some nice stories about Banki Bihari Ji. There was a very great acharya of the Nimbark Sampradaya. His name was Haridas Swami. He was a fantastic kirtan singer. He wrote many, many bhajans and kirtans, which are still sung throughout Brajbhumi. And he had a dream that in Nidiban, the Supreme Lord Krishna was under the ground. So he went to that place in Nidiban, and there he discovered the wonderful deity of Sri Banki Bihari. There was a story that they tell in Banki Bihari temple about once there was a very old man, and he had a conviction in his heart that before I die, I must serve the greatest person in the world. So he was from a little village, and he was thinking the head of the village must be the greatest person in the world. So he started serving that person. Then a tax collector came, and he saw the head of the village bowing down before the tax collector. So as the tax collector was leaving, he went chasing after the tax collector. He said, "I want to serve you, I want to serve you." Tax collector said, "Why?" "Because I must, before I die, I can die any moment, I must serve the greatest person. Even the head of our village bows to you." "All right, you serve." So after some time, the tax collector came before the governor, and he bowed down before the governor. So the old man went to the governor, "Please, please, let me serve you before I die. I must serve the greatest person." So he served the governor for some years. But one time the entourage of the king came to the village, and the governor bowed down to the king. So the old man came to the king, "Please, please, I served the head of our village, but he was the servant of the tax collector. He was the servant of the governor. But even the governor is bowing down before you. Before I die, I must serve the greatest person. Please let me serve you." So he served the king for some time. But he saw that every now and then the king would change into ordinary clothes and go out at night. So the old man followed him, and he went in that area. He came to the land of Vrindavan, and came to Nidiban, and he he would bow down before Haridas Kirtaniya, and Haridas would instruct him in bhakti. So after the king left, the old man ran to Haridas and fell at his feet and said, "Please, please, please, let me serve you. You are the greatest. Even the king bows to you. Before I die, I must serve the greatest person." So Haridas said, "I am not the greatest person. I am only an insignificant servant of the servant of the servant. But I can tell you who the greatest person is. You will have to look no longer anywhere. You have achieved the ultimate destination of your life." Because it was night, and the pujaris were just coming out, the old man, he said, "Let me in, let me in." The pujari said, "Are you crazy? What the duties are, take your rest." He said, "I may die before the morning. I must serve the greatest person." He talked all about his past. So they thought, "You are a crazy man. You wait till Mangalarti, you'll see." But he was so eager, he couldn't wait. He said, "All right, you can serve. Your service is you stand at this door and you do not let anyone in or anyone out until we come tomorrow morning." So he stood wide awake to make sure nobody came in or out. The story goes that in the middle of the night the doors opened and Banki Bihari came out of the door. The old man had a stick. He said, "I can't let you in or out. I am the servant of Banki Bihari." He said, "I am Banki Bihari." So he fell at Sri Banki Bihari's feet. And he said, "Where are you going?" He said, I am going to perform my lila with my devotees in the groves of Vrindavan. So Bhakti Bihari went out to dance with his devotees, and then very, very late at night or early morning he came back, and he saw it was cold, so he took off his chadar, Bhakti Bihari, and put it on the old man to keep him warm. Then he went in the temple and the doors locked. A few minutes later the pujaris came. They couldn't believe the old man was still there, this fanatic old man with the stick. So they went to open the door, and the old man put the stick in front and said, no, no, you cannot go in, you cannot go in. They said, what do you, nonsense, we cannot go in. We go in every time to wake the deer. No, no, you cannot go in. He just went to take rest a few minutes ago. You must let him get good rest. Then they thought he was completely crazy. So they just pushed him aside, opened the lock, but as they were going in, they saw he had Bhakti Bihari's chadar on, the same chadar they put the deity to rest in. They said, where did you get that? He said, Bhakti Bihari gave it. He thought I was cold. He's playing with his devotees all night long. So they went in and they saw the chadar was not on Bhakti Bihari. So they realized it was a true story. So from that time on, the Mangal Arati at Bhakti Bihari Mandir is about 10 o'clock in the morning. Certain seasons, I think it's 9, and certain seasons it's...
High season 9 and 10 o'clock in cold season.
Cold season, it's 10 o'clock. So Krishna makes his schedule very nicely so that all kinds of living beings can be satisfied. Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. However late you sleep, there's still some place you can go to Mangala. Shri Bhakti Harilal Ki. And when you go into the temple, you'll see that the pujaris are always putting the curtain in front of him. And the reason that is, the temple tells the story that once a very, very great devotee, there were big, big crowds, and he wanted to see Bhakti Bihari. And when Bhakti Bihari sees his devotees, and the devotees see Bhakti Bihari, there's such a reciprocation of love that sometimes Bhakti Bihari has come off the altar to be with his devotees. So they go like this, so that he is not able to see his devotees for too long. That is the story that they tell.
I know so many stories.
Dinabhanu knows so many stories, but there's... I have to go to the GBC meetings. I have to be there at 10 o'clock. So you can tell stories, but I am also... Confidentially, I'd rather hear their stories.
Every time I ask, they tell intelligible stories.
Okay, I'll listen, but I have to leave in 5 minutes. So please.
No, I just have two or three.
Yes. I said every time I've asked, they told me different stories. And they also told me this story, that they're afraid he'll jump off the altar. Another time they told me, that every time I've asked, I haven't asked for a long time, but every time I used to ask, they told a different story. So once they said no, one devotee came and he was just staring and staring and staring at Bhakti Bihari. Finally his eyes just burnt right out of his head, so they're afraid that that may happen again, so they closed the curtain so no one can stare for a long time. Another time I asked, they said, well, you know, he's just our little lala, and so many people are coming and they just stare and stare and stare, and you know what it's like when somebody's just stares and stares and stares, you feel uncomfortable, so he's our little lala, so we shut the curtain so that he won't feel uncomfortable because so many people are staring at him. Another time I asked, I said, well, you know, He is Parambrahma. And you are all Jiva. And this curtain is Maya. So when this curtain comes, then the Jiva can no longer get darshan of Brahma. And when your desire again becomes very strong, then the curtain of Maya is again pulled and you can't see Brahma. There's a couple of, I can't remember now, but every time I've asked, so you can go and ask also, but every time I asked I get different stories. Oh, Sri Bhante Bihari Lala Ki.
So after Prasad, Vishwaroop Prabhu will take you to Sri Bhante Bihari Mandir. And you may go to Sri Radha Vallabha Mandir, and then to those of you who would like can go to Jamuna to take bath. Those who want to do shopping, there's no schedule this afternoon. From Bhante Bihari Temple, those of you who would like to go, you can either go to Jamuna with Vishwaroop and Sri Radha Vallabha Mandir, or you can go whatever you like to do as long as you remember Krishna. It is a free day. It is the story of Radha Vallabha that the pujaris have told me. Is there was a Brahman who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared before him and told him, I want to give you a benediction. I am Ashutosh. Whatever you desire, I will give you. So he said, no. He was a Vaishnava, this person, but he worshipped Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. He said, I have received the darshan of such a great Vaishnava, I have nothing else I want. But Shiva said, no, you must ask something of me. He said, please give me that which is most dear to your heart. So Lord Shankar told him, in a little cave near a well, you will find what is most dear to my heart. But after you find it, you will meet a man, and you will know who it is when you see him. And you should give this, what I am giving you, you should give to this man, and you should also give him your daughter in marriage. So, this man went to that place, and in a secluded little cave, he found what is most dear to Lord Shiva's heart, the deity of Sri Radha Vallabha. And he worshipped Radha Vallabha, and one day he met a great devotee named Heat Hari Bams, who was an associate of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, I believe. And Heat Hari Bams had a dream where Krishna explained to him, he was from near the Braj Bhumi area. He had a dream and told him that you will meet a Brahmin and he will give you a deity and he will give you his daughter and you should accept. So Heat Hari Bams married the daughter and established the deity of Radha Vallabha. It was soon after Madan Mohan, it was one of the original temples of Vrindavan. Heat Hari Bams lived here just about the same time as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. He established the Radha Vallabha Sampradaya. So it is a very famous deity, very ancient deity. Then you will go to Jamuna. Then you are free for the rest of the day to do as you like. You can do your spiritual shopping to get gifts for your friends and relatives, or gifts for your deities at your homes, or gifts for Radha Gopinath or Radha Ras Bihari. And, or you can go to Radha Damodar, Imlital, any of those places, Radha Raman, offer your prayers and worship. And at 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be in meetings till 7:30. So at 8 o'clock tonight, if you like, we could all meet at Fogla Ashram. And then we will have our official concluding satsang for the Vrindavan Yatra.